Hello, I'm Father Joe Roche of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Thank you for joining us as we continue with our year-long journey, reading the diary of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska from beginning to end. Today, we take up from where we left off, beginning with diary entry number 560. Thursday. I felt urged to undertake as soon as possible the task which the Lord was asking of me. While making my confession, I was holding to my own opinion over that of the confessor. At first, I did not realize this, but when I was making my holy hour, I saw the Lord Jesus as he appears in the image, and he told me that I must repeat to my confessor and my superiors everything he says to me or asks of me, and do only what you receive permission to do. And he gave me to know how displeased he was with persons who are self-willed, and I recognized that I was one of these. I saw this shadow of self-will in myself, and I threw myself in the dust before His Majesty, and with a broken heart begged His pardon. But Jesus did not let me remain in this state for long. His divine gaze filled my heart with such joy that I have no words to express it, and Jesus gave me to know that I should ask Him more questions and seek His advice. Truly, how sweet is the look of my Lord! His eyes penetrate my soul to its most secret depths. My spirit communicates with God without any word being spoken. I am aware that He is living in me and I in Him. All at once, I saw the image in some small chapel, and at that moment, I saw that the chapel became an enormous and beautiful temple. And in this temple, I saw the Mother of God with the infant in her arms. And a moment later, the infant Jesus disappeared from the arms of his mother, and I saw the living image of Jesus crucified. The Mother of God told me to do what she had done, that even when joyful, I should always keep my eyes fixed on the cross, and she told me that the graces God was granting me were not for me alone, but for other souls as well. When I see the infant Jesus during Holy Mass, it is not always the same. Sometimes he is very joyous, and sometimes he is not even looking at the chapel. At present, he is often very joyful when our confessor, Father Sopochko, offers Holy Mass. I was greatly surprised that the infant Jesus loves him so much. Sometimes I see him dressed in a colorful pinafore. Before I came to Vilnius and met this confessor, I once saw a rather small church, and near it, this congregation. The convent had 12 cells. Each nun was to live separately. I saw the priest, Father Sopochko, who was helping me to prepare the convent and whom I was to meet some years later, but whom I already knew from the vision. I saw how he was arranging everything in the convent with great care, assisted by another priest, probably Father Wantuchowski, whom I have not yet met. I saw the iron grating covered with a dark curtain, and the sisters did not go out to the church. On the feast day of the Immaculate Conception of the Mother of God, during Holy Mass, I heard the rustling of garments and saw the Most Holy Mother of God in a most beautiful radiance. Her white garment was girdled with a blue sash. She said to me, "You give me great joy when you adore the Holy Trinity for the graces and privileges which were accorded me." And she immediately disappeared. Penances and mortification. Interior mortifications take the first place, but besides this, we must practice exterior mortifications strictly determined so that all can practice them. These are, on 3 days a week, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, there will be a strict fast. Each Friday, all the sisters, each one in her own cell, will take the discipline for the length of the recitation of Psalm 50, and all will do this at the same time, namely 3 o'clock, and this will be offered for dying sinners. During the two great fasts, Ember Days and Vigils, the food will consist of a piece of bread and some water, once a day. Let each sister try to observe these mortifications, which are prescribed for all. But if anyone desires to do something more, she should ask the superior for permission. One more general mortification. No sister is allowed to enter the cell of another without special permission from the superior. But the superior should sometimes unexpectedly enter the cells of the sisters, not in order to spy, but in the spirit of love and the responsibility which she has before God. None of the sisters will lock anything. The rule will be the general key for all. During her confession, St. Faustina discovers her willfulness. She is not being obedient to the confessor, but rather holding her own opinion over that of the confessor. She didn't realize it at first, but it became clear to her during a holy hour. This is a very subtle temptation to recognize. We can think that we are doing God's will when we are really imposing our own will on Him. St. Faustina humbled herself when she realized that that was what she was doing. Jesus works with us, helping us to see our imperfections and helping us to improve. He prunes us so that we will bear more fruit. St. Faustina received a vision of a future convent of the new congregation. It began in Father Sopochko's own house in Vilnius. He began the congregation in 1942, 4 years after St. Faustina's death, when he was in hiding for 2 years during World War II. The other priest mentioned helped with the beginning of the congregation because in all, Father Sopochko had to live in hiding for 10 years because of persecutions. St. Faustina writes of the penances and the mortifications that the sisters in the new congregation would practice. The discipline is a type of a whip or a lash used as a way of doing penance. The types of mortifications and the lifestyle envisioned is clearly for a strictly cloistered community. It is a very sacrificial and a penitential life. The sisters, in a way, become victim souls, offering their prayers and their sacrifices for the conversion and the salvation of others.